Hey there, Sports History fans. Arnie Chapman here from the Sports History Network to share with you an awesome announcement. Now dig on this. Four of our amazing podcasts have clinched spots in the final round of the Sports Podcast Awards, and we need your support to take home the trophy. First up, we've got Basketball History 101, Driving the Lane in the Best Basketball category. Then on deck, we've got Orville Mulligan, Sports Writer. He's cracking up the competition in the Best Sports Comedy category. Marty's Illegal Stick is dominating the ice next in the Best Hockey category. And last but not least, we have Wrestling with Heels on powerbombing its way to victory in the Best Wrestling category. Now, again, we're counting on you to cast your vote and help out these incredible podcasters secure their well-deserved recognition. It's super easy. All you gotta do is head over to the dedicated landing page. That's at sportshistorynetwork.com/vote. Again, that's sportshistorynetwork.com/vote. Now, let's take another look at Sports Yesteryear with this episode brought to you by, of course, the Sports History Network.
Those of you who listen to this podcast know how we love to talk about football history, and today is no exception for the February 7th football history headlines, as we talk about a couple Super Bowls and some great Hall of Famers on their birthday, all coming up in just a moment. This is the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch, a podcast that covers the anniversaries of American football events throughout history on a day-to-day basis. This is your host, Darren Hayes, and we're broadcasting from the Pig Pen in Western Pennsylvania to bring you the memories of the gridiron one day at a time. So with Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff supplying us with the tunes, let's go no huddle through today's football history headlines.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
Hello, my football friends. This is Darren Hayes of PigskinDispatch.com, and welcome once again to the Pig Pen, where we will talk about the football history and the football history headlines of February 7th. And we know we have a big game coming up today, this February 7th, 2021. Super Bowl 55 is coming up, and we'll talk about that in future episodes, because it's not history yet, it's the future when this is being made. But I do want to talk to you about going to a place where you can look at all of our podcasts in one place, and that is pigskindispatch.com/podcast. It'll take you right to a page that has all our podcasts, almost 160 of them to choose from if you want to do some binge listening during these cold months of winter and during the off season of football. We're glad to have you there, and you can visit us at pigskindispatch.com too to see some great articles that we have on there, as well as the Sports History Network .com, where I have some great partners that share in football history and sports history, for that matter, that have podcasts and some great little blog posts on that, sportshistorynetwork.com. Now, let's get to your football history headlines. February 7th, 1988, Aloha Stadium in Honolulu. We start off today's headlines at the NFL Pro Bowl, as the American Football Conference outlasted the National Football Conference by a score of 15-6. The top star in this contest was Buffalo Bills defensive end Bruce Smith, who took home the MVP award for that game. February 7th, 1993, the Pro Bowl for the NFL's 1992 season was also played at Aloha Stadium in Honolulu, Hawaii. This time, it was the AFC who triumphed, as they edged out the NFC players by the tune of 23-20, close game. The game's most valuable player was Steve Tasker, the wide receiver of the Buffalo Bills. February 7th, 1999 at Aloha Stadium, the AFC East Division had once again taken home the honor of the Pro Bowl MVP award, as both the New York Jets wide receiver Keyshawn Johnson and Ty Law, the cornerback of the New England Patriots, were selected for their fine play in the game. The final score of this All-Star contest was that the AFC knocked off the NFC squad 23-10 in the 1998 season's NFL Pro Bowl. Now, how about we talk about some Super Bowls? First off, February 7th, 2010, Sun Life Stadium in Miami Gardens, Miami, Florida. Super Bowl 44 was a matchup of all-time great quarterbacks, as Peyton Manning and his Indianapolis Colts faced the New Orleans Saints and their most excellent signal caller, Drew Brees. The game started off with the Colts storming out to an early 10-0 run to go up by double digits, but the second quarter field goals cut the margin to a four-point game at the half. Saints head coach Sean Payton then made some major halftime adjustments, outmaneuvering those of Colts sideline boss Jim Caldwell. New Orleans decimated the Indy defense and all but kept Manning and his company from scoring even a single point in the game's back half with 25 unanswered tallies of their own. It led to a New Orleans Saints' first NFL title as they rolled the Indianapolis Colts 31-17. The Super Bowl that had the double fours, the MVP of this game was Drew Brees, according to the PFR, who threw two touchdowns and 288 yards. February 7, 2016, at Levi's Stadium in Santa Clara, California, Peyton Manning again had a team in the NFL's championship, as he was now with the Denver Broncos, as they were faced with a matchup with Cam Newton and the Carolina Panthers in Super Bowl 50. The game may have been less about these two outstanding quarterbacks and more about the defensive player for the Broncos that won the MVP. Denver linebacker Von Miller made life miserable for Mr. Newton all game, as two fumbles that Von created turned into 14 points for the Mile High team. In fact, it was the exact point differential in the game. The Denver Broncos outscored the Carolina Panthers 24-10 to seal another Lombardi in glass for the franchise. The Broncos deforced Newton into a dismal 18 of 41 passing and an interception. The Panthers, meanwhile, made Peyton Manning look quite pedestrian as well, as he was only 13 of 23 for 141 yards, and he also threw a pick. Defense does win championships, and this time it was Denver's defensive squad that did more and locked up the title for the franchise. Now, I've got one of my partners from the SportsHistoryNetwork.com, who's a great storyteller of football lore, who'd like to tell you something a little bit about his podcast that's on the SportsHistoryNetwork.com.
Hi, folks. Are you curious about some of the unique players, teams, games, and events of pro football's past? If you are, please check out my bi-weekly podcast, The Pigskin Past. I'm Joe Zagorski, a member of the Pro Football Writers of America and the Pro Football Researchers Association. I've written three books about pro football history, and I'm currently writing my fourth. Now, my era of expertise is the 1970s in the NFL. Heck, I even have a Facebook page by that title, and my very first book also has the same title, The NFL in the 1970s. But every now and then I check out a different era, so I might surprise you. Anyway, if you like pro football history, please check out my bi-weekly segment here called The Pigskin Past when you get a chance. I think you'll enjoy it.
I'll tell you what, if you have never listened to Joe Zagorski's Pigskin Past podcast, you are in for a real treat. So make sure you treat yourself and take a listen to that as soon as you're done with this podcast. And you can find it at the SportsHistoryNetwork.com. Now, let's get to some birthdays of Hall of Famers for this February 7th. We'll start off in the year 1917. At Fort Lawn, South Carolina, the legendary Clemson Tigers halfback Banks McFadden arrived into the world. The National Football Foundation selected Banks McFadden for entrance into the College Football Hall of Fame in 1959. February 7th, 1922, North Loop, Nebraska, the University of Southern Cal's brilliant end, Paul Cleary, was born. Paul started out at Santa Clara, California Junior College in 1941 and 1942 and played there until his football career was interrupted by service for his country in the Pacific Theater of World War II. Upon his return, he went to USC. The footballfoundation.org website bio of Cleary states that he was an All-American in 1947, and his coach, Jeff Kravitz, said he's the finest end who ever played at Southern California. Paul Cleary was honored with induction into the College Football Hall of Fame in 1989 after the National Football Foundation tallied their votes. February 7th, 1934, Hartford, Connecticut. The stalwart Naval Academy two-way playing end Ron Beagle was born. Ron almost never left the field for the midshipmen during his playing days as he blocked, tackled, and grabbed passes for the Navy teams of the mid-1950s. The NFF records that in 1953 through the 1955 seasons, Beagle caught 64 passes, mostly from George Welsh, and scored 8 touchdowns. He was an All-American twice, unanimous in 1955, and won the Maxwell Trophy, which is the most prestigious College Player of the Year award in 1954. The National Football Foundation voters selected Ron Beagle for entrance into the College Football Hall of Fame in 1986. In an astonishing bit of fact, the footballfoundation.org website points out that Beagle and another famous player, 9 years his junior, attended the same Purcell High School in Cincinnati, Ohio, played college football at the Naval Academy, both won the Maxwell Trophy, both had the honor of All-American status, and eventually both were inducted in the College Football Hall of Fame. It happened only once, and these two men were Ron Beagle and Roger Staubach. And by the way, their birthdays are only a couple days apart, as we just discussed Roger Staubach a few days ago. February 7th, 1953, Mobile, Alabama, the awesome Jackson State linebacker Robert Brazil arrived into this life. Robert was the sixth overall pick in 1975's NFL draft by the Houston Oilers, who got the rights to that pick in a monster trade deal where they also gained Hall of Fame defensive end Curly Culp. Wow, what a payday for Houston. In that first season, Robert earned the Defensive Rookie of the Year honors while helping the Oilers achieve a record of 10-4. Brazil played 10 seasons with the Oilers franchise, helping them to gain entrance into the AFC playoffs in three straight seasons in the late 70s. For his career, he registered 13 interceptions and 14 fumble recoveries, as well as being a team leader in tackles. He was an All-Pro in five consecutive seasons and played in seven Pro Bowl games. The Pro Football Hall of Fame enshrined Robert Brazil in what year? 2018. Once again, we are so grateful that you spent the time to join us for these football history headlines for February 7th. And we want to make sure you come back tomorrow and the days after, because we have some exciting things coming up. Starting tomorrow, we are going to start our series on the NFL jerseys and the players that wore them. We're going to have a great introduction to that with Bill Schaefer of the Gridiron Uniform Database. And we're going to talk a little about the men that wore zeros of some significance in the NFL. So it was all with your football history headlines and birthdays of Hall of Famers, of course. And we're going to go right through. We'll do probably 3 to 4 every week until the football season starts up again in September. We're going to go zeros through 99, and we'll have some exciting guests along the way that we'll have some great interviews with, and I can't wait for you to hear them. So make sure you check that out. If you want to check out all our podcasts, like we said, some binge watching, go to pigskindispatch.com/podcast and you'll see all of our podcasts there in one place. You can also go to the sportshistorynetwork.com. You'll see our podcast and 16 other podcasts right now. And that's probably outdated already because there's people joining constantly to talk about some sports history on the Sports History Network. And if you're interested, there's a place on there where you can contact Mr. Arnie Chapman, who is the founder, and he will get you set up and get your own podcast on the Sports History Network. It's a great team to be on, and we would look forward to having you talk about some great sports history. So until tomorrow, everybody, have a great Gridiron Day and enjoy that Super Bowl. Peeking up at the clock, the time's running down. We're going to go into victory formation, take a knee, and let this baby run out. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you back tomorrow for the next podcast. We invite you to check out our website, pigskindispatch.com, not only to see the daily football history, but to experience positive football with our many articles on the good people of the game, as well as our own football comic strip, Cleat Marks Comics. pigskindispatch.com is also on social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and don't forget the Pigskin Dispatch YouTube channel to get all of your positive football news and history. Special thanks to the talents of Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff, for letting us use their music during our podcast.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com. Hey there, Sports History fan. This is Arnie Chapman, a.k.a. the Football History Dude, and I wanted to thank you for stopping by to listen to another episode here on the Sports History Network. Our podcasters are passionate about uncovering and sharing sports stories from yesteryear. And if you didn't know it already, we have over 30 shows across the network covering all sorts of sports history topics. In fact, here's a glimpse into one of our awesome podcasts here on the network.
Do you wish you knew more about the 100 seasons of the NFL? You're in luck because you found the Football History Dude podcast, where each episode is a journey back in time to learn about the rich history of the NFL. From the founding of the league in an auto showroom, all the way to what it is today, America's favorite sport and a behemoth of an industry. My name is Arnie Chapman. Football is my passion, and I want you to come along with me each week to explore the yesteryear of the gridiron. So hop on board my DeLorean, and let's get this baby up to 88 miles per hour.
How about that? I bet you're super hyped to go listen to that new podcast, right? Well, to learn about this show and all the other podcasts on the network, head over to sportshistorynetwork.com/podcasts. Again, that's sportshistorynetwork.com/podcasts. Head over there today to find your next favorite sports history podcast.